Blog Talk Radio.
Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. What if God speaks? Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and known that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Praise the Lord, and that's a beautiful song. And I just want to thank God for the privilege to be able to come to you this afternoon, and I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to all those who are online already, and for those who will be coming on later on, we appreciate you, and we are thankful to God that you're here with us. And I know that today, as we get into our study, we are going to get a blessing, and I just want to ask that the Lord bless each and every one of you, and bless this program as we go into this afternoon. Well, another Friday has come already. An entire week came and went since we last Friday when we started back our program. And it's amazing to know how fast the days are going. And it's nothing but signs of the times. And it's telling us beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are heading for the soon return of our Lord. I don't know how many of you still believe that, but I do believe that God is coming, and He's coming very soon. Jesus Christ is going to be here very soon. The days are flying, and things are happening in this world that are so crazy that it's hard to believe. So I just thank God for this to come here. I don't see anything that is more worthwhile for us to do than to be about our Father's business at this time of our ministry. So I'm going to go to the line and go to our online and then to say something in just a minute. Ask you to just identify yourself and just say a word of truth and tell us anything that the Lord impressed you to say at this time. And then we will go into our prayer. So the lines are open. So anyone who would like to say something at this time, now is the time to leave. And then at the end of the study, of course, and during the study, we will be able to just identify yourself so that I know who is here because I don't know all the numbers like I used to. So who will be the first? Go right ahead.
Yeah, Willa.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm Melanie.
Huh?
I'm Melanie.
Melanie?
Willa. Willa
yes,
gave me
Willa.
This number,
okay.
And I dialed it. And I heard Willa say hey to you.
Oh, okay. So you're Melanie?
This is Melanie. Uh-huh.
Okay, Melanie. Welcome. I am Donald Westermeyer, and I'm doing for this program. We're so glad to have you here. And I'm so thankful that Willa gave you the number.
Nice to meet you on the phone. Nice to meet you on the phone.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Who else is here?
Mm-hmm. Stay on the line. He'll be talking in a minute. Just stay on the line.
Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, for all of you, we just want to say thank God for you being here with us. We appreciate you. And we know that the Lord is going to do something special for each and every one of us. Amen. You're going to receive a blessing today that is second to none. So we just want to welcome you here, and I just want you to join me in prayer as we pray to begin. After the prayer, Willa is going to share something with us, and then we'll go from there. Okay? Let us go.
I don't know if we're supposed to say anything or not.
No, you're just supposed to keep listening. He'll stay on the line with you.
Mm-hmm, that's what I've been doing.
All right. Let us pray. Father, our God, we thank you so much for the privilege to come to you at this time in prayer. And we thank you for all those who are listening. We thank you for this Spirit of God that is alive and well with us. And I just pray, O God, that you may give us a blessing today that is second to none. Open our minds so that we can understand your word. Open our hearts so that we can accept your truth. And then fill our life with your spirit so that at the end of this program we will not be defeated. Bless each home that is tuning in today. Bless, O Father, the one who are going to be sharing with us. Thank you so much. I pray that you may give her wisdom and knowledge and strength and your word of power to do our devotional thought before we get into our study. I thank you for those who are listening, O Father. And we just pray that you may guide and direct each one of us. And help us by the grace that at the end of this study, all of us may be able to see it was good to be here. Thank you for Willa inviting our friend Melanie to be with us. We pray for Melanie at this time, and we pray for all the other good families. Those who are listening did not say anything, but they are on there with us. We thank you for that too, Lord, and we ask your blessing upon us. And we pray that you may bless this program and help us continue to go forward and forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at this time, we want to open up the line to Willa to share with us our devotional thoughts. And after that, Melanie, you'll get a chance to say something, okay? But at this time, Willa, you can share with us.
Okay.
Okay.
Our first scripture is going to be Romans chapter 15, verse 4.
Okay. Romans chapter what, Willa? Romans.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And our next scripture is Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 20. Ephesians 3, 16 to 20. And he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in the spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I'm glad the scripture says that it is through all ages. It wasn't just for the apostles when they lived back there. It was for all ages. And I had the words of a little song, and then we'll go back to Mr. Donald. Anytime, anywhere, Jesus is my friend. When I'm glad, when I'm sad, I can talk to him. Sometimes on my knees I pray, as I need him through the day, my best friend is he. Okay, Mr. Donald, take over. Hello? Hello?
You done lost.
No, I'm going to just listen, if that's okay. Is that okay?
Hello? Sorry about that. I was speaking, but I think the radio was off. Anyway, for those who are listening now, I am back on. I'm just trying to get used to this setup, and I'm seeing my good brother joining me here, Pastor Paul. Welcome, Pastor Paul. Good to have you here with us. I just pray that God bless you and you'll be able to share with us. But Paul, before you came on, Sister Willa was sharing a text with us from Romans 15 and verse 4. And reading from the NIV, that text says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope." That was the first of three texts, I think, that she read this afternoon. And that text was so amazing because that's the text I'm going to be using to preach on tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I'll be teaching tomorrow, and that's the text I'll be using at the Snellville New Hope Sunday Ministry. But today, our topic is a day of rest, now and forever. And in Genesis, it says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in Psalms 104 and verse 5, it says, "He laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever." And then we have Psalms 33. 3 and verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So, all these texts are telling us that, giving us a Bible account of creation, in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit participated, they all got together, and they made or created what we call today the earth. And they put the things that were necessary for life to be on the earth. And after everything was done, you know, it created the atmosphere and all the rest of it. He made man, and he created man, and he put human beings to live on the earth. And everything was all set for man. And I like the way how the Father did things, because before he brought man into the earth, everything was there. There were trees. You know, he created the trees first. You know, there was water there. There was oxygen and air. You know, there was heaven and earth. There was the moon and the stars and everything. Everything man was about the last of his creation. So when man came into being, everything was already set. You know, and then God said, let us make man because if I go to the New Testament for an account of creation in Ephesians 3 and verse 9. It says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. And so the Bible account of creation is that not only the Father was involved in, but so was the Son, and so was the Holy Spirit. So they all get together and they created heaven and the earth. Looking at Revelation, another New Testament text, Revelation 4 and verse 11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. Since God created all things from nothing, he hung the earth upon nothing, upholds all things, and sustains life. He therefore is the undisputed, final, and absolute rightful owner and ruler of this earth. Wouldn't you agree? He is the one that is keeping everything together and holding it together. So then God should be the one who rules. And then he says, what is, well, let me ask this question. What is the sign of God's creation? Is there a sign that God, you know, put out there that says, hey, this represents the fact that I am the creator of this world? What is that sign? Well, in Exodus 31, 16 to 17, it says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep my Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation, for it's a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So this statement about the Sabbath is clear. It says God is the speaker in this text, right? The Sabbath is God's time between God and between God and his creation. And he created the world and the different forms of life upon it. And he did all of that in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. This is God's own stated reason for making the Sabbath time. He says that he intended that all men should should observe and recognize it on the 7 days in particular. That which God created, it is that all the inhabitants of the world and all the creators and all of creation should worship God and give Him praise and glory on His day. On God's part, the Sabbath is a sign of His creation, with all the obligations towards us, that it devolves upon Him because of His path of creation. It is a sign of His right to rule over us, the symbol of His gracious and kindness sovereignty. On our part, it is a sign that we gratefully acknowledge Him as our Creator and accept His right of title, which is the Creator and ruler over us and over all things. It is a sign that as His creatures, we assume the obligations that naturally come to us in this relationship. The Sabbath is a matter of the holy duty and the thing of infinite duty, the thing of infinite duty. Now, let me ask a question. And as I read and as I make these comments, you guys are free to, you know, answer, to say anything, to make a comment as we go along. So don't be afraid to interrupt. You want to interrupt, you can interrupt me at any time. Okay? The question is, that is, was the Sabbath made before man sinned? Or was the Sabbath made after sin? Anyone want to answer that? Was the Sabbath made before man sinned, or was it made after man sinned? Anyone? All right. Go ahead.
I don't, it's breaking up pretty good, but and still, did you say that the Sabbath day was made before or after man? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking the question.
Okay, the Sabbath day was made before man.
Okay, and who is this? I believe I know it's you, but let me guess.
This is Francis.
Sister Francis. I thought it was you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, doing fine.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I thank God for my being here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're back. But I mean, you focused the death.
I didn't understand.
No, I said you focused the death. She told you, she gave you the new number to call
it. Yes, she gave me the number, so I was here 5 minutes before. Before it started, but when you asked for time for someone to speak, they were knocking at the door. I had to go get my medicine.
Oh, okay.
It was delivered to me, so.
Yeah.
But anyway,
okay. Right.
It's a blessing to hear you all.
Good afternoon, Donald. And I am agree with Miss Francis, because it said he created everything, and on the seventh day he rested. And on that time, man wasn't created as yet.
Right.
No, he wasn't.
So then, that's right. So then, the Sabbath was created before man sinned. Right? So man sinned afterwards. Okay. And that is true. So the answer there that you guys gave is true. All right? In Genesis 2, I'm just reading Genesis 2 and 3. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And so the seventh day is therefore God's blessed and sanctified day of rest. Right? In Exodus 20 and verse 10, it says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And it says, God rested. He was not weary. So, yeah, let me ask this question. Do you think God rested because he was weary after creating the earth and human beings for 6 days? In 6 days, do you think after the 6 days of work of creation that God was weary and that is why he needed the Sabbath?
No.
No?
I don't,
okay.
No.
All right. So,
no,
why do you believe he created the Sabbath?
I don't think he was weary, not tired.
Huh?
Did you say, was he weary, like tired?
Yeah.
No,
why?
He was.
Okay. So, why did he need the day of rest?
Because it is a time for worship and praising and giving and glorifying God and all that stuff. You know, he did that. He did it, I believe, for us to work and then rest. Rest as in, you know, having a day of worship.
Amen.
Coming together, coming ourselves to be together. Yes, yes. That's the day of rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So it was another gift that God gave to us as human beings. Because
mm-hmm.
he knew that we would need a day of rest. But more
yeah.
importantly, I think what he said is the fact that he wanted us also to develop that relationship with him.
Yes.
And so the seventh day is the day we get to spend with him, to fellowship with him, and to really build our relationship. You know, one of the key things in any relationship that would help a relationship to grow and to thrive is time. You know that? The more time you spend with somebody, the better that relationship you build with them. Am I right?
Praise God. Praise God, yes.
Right. Yes, and the less time you spend with someone, what happened to the relationship?
It gets.
The relationship would become weaker, right?
Weak,
that's
very weak.
Very weak. That's right. That's right. So time is a factor. And I think that is one of the reasons why God gave us the Sabbath, so that we can, or probably one of the greatest reasons, so that not only that we rest and we, you know, get rejuvenated from, you know, 6 days of labor, but also that we can get to spend that time with him and
mm-hmm.
build that relationship with him. Because
yeah.
Sabbath day, if you don't have any work to do, so we don't have to always go to school or anything like that, then we can really focus on him and what he is doing, you know, through us. And so I think that's key right there, the fact that he wants us to spend time with him and to build our relationship with him. So God rested, but he was not weary, because he's the creator of the heaven and the earth, and God is, you know, omnipotent. There's nothing that God can do that would make him get weary. He did not do it so that he can refresh himself. You know, God rested because he was creating a day of rest for us. And was
yeah.
setting us an example. He wanted us to see how he did it. Work 6 days and then rest. It wasn't for him, but it was for us. He was refreshed because he saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Right? Genesis 1:31.
Right.
It gave him pleasure. God blessed and sanctified the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day and made it his day of God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in him he had rested. Since the seventh day is the day on which he rested, and since he blessed and sanctified it, it follows that upon no other day except Monday, one day on which he rested, he placed his blessing and sanctification. and making it the Sabbath day of the Lord. So, Exodus 20 verse 11 says, in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord rested the Sabbath day and followed it. In 1 Corinthians 17 and verse 27, it says, Thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. In Numbers 23, 19 and 20, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. All right? Now, listen to this question. Was the Sabbath time to be for all men, for all time, or was it just for a time and then after that, you know, it changed? Anyone want to answer that question? Was it to be for all men at all times, or was it just for a time and then, you know, it changed after that? What you think?
All men at all times.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to elaborate on that? Why you say that?
It's an example that he has set for us. And it is for all men, all mankind, and all time.
Yes. Yes. And also Jesus said that, right? Jesus said in Matthew 2 and verse 27, he said the Sabbath was made for what? For
man.
Right?
And not
Sabbath was
man.
Made for man and not man for
and
the Sabbath.
Right.
So this does not mean that the Sabbath was made for the Jews only. He never said for the Jews only. Or it does not mean that the Sabbath was made for Sunday Adventists only. Or, you know, for other Sabbath people, but it says Jesus said the Sabbath was made for men. And that includes men and women and everybody, right? Men in the generic sense. So
Donald, can I share some scripture with you guys?
Yeah, no problem. Go right ahead.
When we read in Exodus chapter 20, and we read the Sabbath commandment there in chapter 20. Let's take a look at the language that was used there, right? If you have your Bibles with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might have touched on this, but just a little reiterating. And it says here, in Genesis 24, it's Exodus, and it says here in verses 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, is a Sabbath. The seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. Okay, you nor your son nor your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days, this is the key one here. This is why God is laying out the restriction on the Sabbath. Why is he saying you can't do what you should and shouldn't do on the Sabbath? He said, because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, okay, because therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So now the Lord has placed a restriction, and he's placed a blessing on this day, because why? He created the heavens and the earth and the sea that is in all of them. Okay, mm-hmm. So the Sabbath day is a memorial commemorating the fact that God is creator. And because he is creator, he has sovereignty over creation, even the Sabbath. Okay? And so that's what the Sabbath really brings into perspective. The sovereignty of God as creator over everything. So every time we stop to observe the Sabbath, every time we stop to, and when you read, you were reading Exodus 31, I think in verse 16, it says you should remember the Sabbath, you should keep the Sabbath to celebrate it, which is an aspect of Sabbath keeping that we don't tend to focus on intentionally. There's a lot of celebration that kind of takes place on Sabbath unintentionally. But when you read the language, God specifically said you should keep the Sabbath to celebrate it. The Sabbath is to be an intentional celebration of God as the sovereign creator of the universe. That's something we should stop at least once a week and celebrate. That the God who created heaven and earth is now in the process, as John said in Revelation, "Behold, I am making all things new." Mm-hmm. And Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 5, any man who is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we get the, every time we observe or keep the Sabbath to celebrate it, we celebrate what God has done, what God is doing in terms of making us new creation, and also what he will do. Behold, I make all things new. So and we see this in the language here in Exodus 20. We celebrate God as creator. But when you look to in Deuteronomy, if we turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 5, I just wanted to bring that out really quick, if you indulge me, Elder Redemeyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Deuteronomy 5, we see here, and this is going to be my last point, God says something else here about the Sabbath. Starting at verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." It's what the Jews call the Shema. I'm reading Deuteronomy 6, 5 there, 6, 4. But this is verse 5, Deuteronomy 5, 5. I'm sorry, 5, 6, Deuteronomy 5, 6. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of Israel. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness that is in the heavens above or in the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children and on the third and on the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who take his name in vain." Here's verse 12. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God command you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, or you or your son or your daughters or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you." So there, here we're seeing Moses in his final discourse to Israel, as recorded here in the book of Deuteronomy, repeating what was laid out at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. He's reiterating these commandments, the Ten Commandments that was given to them. But he's expounded on a few things, and I want you to watch the difference here in terms of why this, the restriction and the blessing placed on the Sabbath, how it shifts or different emphasis is given as to why they must keep the Sabbath. Look at verse 15. "And you shall remember that you were a slave." Now, remember when we read Exodus 20, it says, because in 6 days the Lord what? Created heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But now that emphasis seems to take a background to something else. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God did what? brought you out there by what? A mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God does what? Command you to observe the Sabbath day. What happened with the creation thing? It's not that it went away, but now this Moses has given them another reason of God's sovereignty over them. God now not has only sovereignty over creation because he is creator. God has sovereignty over his creation because he's also redeemer. When man fell into death, it was and the bondage of sin, it was God who redeemed man and restored him to life and restored him into. So God is we celebrate the Sabbath for God as creator, and we celebrate the Sabbath for God as redeemer. And I just wanted us to bring into focus why it is the Sabbath was, you know, and what does the Sabbath tell us about God when we observe and reflect and celebrate the Sabbath? We observe and reflect God as creator and God as redeemer. And that is why it's an everlasting observation and celebration, because God will never stop being creator. He will never stop being redeemer. And we will always celebrate these attributes and this and these truths about God throughout the ceaseless ages, every time we seek to observe the Sabbath and to celebrate it. So I'm done. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. I just want to thank you so much for that, Pastor Paul. That's a very vital point. So far, we have learned from what we have studied that the Sabbath was given to us for rest. You know, it was a day of rest. Then we said it's a day for us to develop our relationship with him. It's a day of relationship. It's a day of bonding with God and getting stronger in our relationship with him. And then Pastor Paul adds two more to that by saying it's a day of celebration. We celebrate God's creation. Right, and celebrate him as creator on the Sabbath day. But even more than that, we celebrate him as recreator, which is the redeemer. Remember that we were slaves to sin, we were in bondage to sin, and then he redeemed us out of sin. And so those are four reasons we have right here why the Sabbath is not just for one man, but it's for all men. And when we celebrate the Sabbath, we remember these very important things. And that is why it's something that is going to last forever. Now, as we move towards winding up this study, there is something that I want us to read. Paul said, he says to me, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And in the day of rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, this is a people who go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And I just want us to think about that and to really ask the question, what is it that God is saying here to us? What is it he's saying to us? As a matter of fact, I was reading from the book of Psalms, I guess what, but that was Psalm 95:7-11. He says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, to do what God is saying, right? Though they saw my work, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is the people who go astray in their heart, and they do not know my will. So I swore in my wrath, He shall not enter my rest. What do you think the psalmist is doing? And if you want to share your thoughts on this, Psalm 95, 7 through 11. All right. Just explain that later. What the psalmist here is saying that the ultimate rest that we got, that we need that God provides for us, is the rest we get from sin. We deliver from sin. That's the ultimate rest that we get. When we are in Christ, we are delivered. Enjoy that rest. But apart from it, you have to work. Yeah? But apart from Christ, there's no freedom from sin. And that is the ultimate rest that we enjoy when you have the relationship with Christ. Because you can have the Sabbath, and you know, on the Sabbath. It doesn't be the safe in your sin. Of Israel did when they were in and to go for 40 years. Even though they saw the work, they did whatever they wanted to do without him to bring them into that true rest. And that was to deliver them what they did from the bondage of sin. That is the ultimate that God wants to bring to us. And so, think about this part. Us being freed from the Sabbath day and the redemption that the Sabbath brings. We cannot look at part of the small to the dead. Amen. If we are not in Christ, the Bible says, not in Christ, you are not the teacher. You are the same old person. And you would not ultimately enjoy any rest. Because the true rest that Christ came to bring to us is that freedom from sin, is that rest from sin, is that deliverance from the things that would sever apart from him or the things that would sever our relationship with him. Amen? So when we think about the Sabbath and we think about the different rest that we get in Christ and the different freedom that we get in Christ, ultimately, the one thing that I think above all that Christ wants to bring us to, or he wants to bring us into, is that relationship with him, where we can enjoy the true and the perfect and I think the one eternal rest, the rest that is only can be enjoyed by those who have peace with Christ. Amen? Those who have been delivered from sin, those who have been redeemed from him. And Paul, I see you just came back. I see you are opening, you just came back. But I just want to have your thoughts on that. Just on that text here that I just read. I was reading from Psalm 95, 7 through 11. He says today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. He said, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is these people who go astray in your heart, and they do not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
You know, what are you talking about? My thoughts is what is goes back to that very sobering and really troubling statement that Jesus made when he says, in vain do they worship me, but their hearts are far from me. You know, it's a terrible thing to be in the church and to call yourself by Jesus' name as a Christian and not to know the Lord, or to be living in open rebellion while walking and living supposedly as a person of faith. You know, having all the outward trappings of a person of faith, of a Christian, or an Adventist, but within, your heart is so far from God, and to the point where you yourself don't even realize just how far from God you are. Where where you so it's self-deluded about your relationship and the life that you live in, that you actually take your rebellion and all the things that puts you at odds with other Christians, is you doing it to the honor and glory of God. You know, and that's where the Jewish nation ended up. 40 years. God led them physically, with physical manifestation of his presence, with a cloud by day and a fire by night. And yet, through the miracle of the parted sea, through the miracle of manna that was provided daily and twice as much on a Friday, in some way, for some reason, the people's heart still managed to stray from God and hold fast to the things of the flesh, the desires of their flesh and their appetite and their trappings for things that were around them. And, you know, we can look at them now in the Bible and shake our heads and say, boy, what foolish people, and completely miss sight of the fact that it could very easily be us, but for the grace of God. And in ways that we might not even be mindful of, it probably is us. And that is why we must invite the Holy Spirit to really examine us, as David did. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Try me and know me. You know? And these are the things we must pray upon ourselves, because otherwise we can be just as deluded as the people who swear they were following God all the time, but yet he says at the final judgment, according to him, was, you will not enter into my rest. How sad it would be
for us
to walk this path as Adventist Christians for years and decades and get to that day and hear, depart from me, I do not know you.
Yes. And we miss
how
out
sad.
On the ultimate rest, the true rest.
How sad.
Which is the
freedom
from sin and to live with him forever and ever. You know, as we wrap this up, Paul, and for all those who are listening, as we bring this study to a close here this afternoon, time goes by so fast when you have another time. But I want to go back to that text that Sister Willa read earlier from Romans 15 and verse. He says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. All right? So all these things in the Bible there are there, not just because God wants to give us information, or not just because he wants us to, you know, get a lesson in history, so to speak, or to learn about, you know, different scientific facts, but also that these things were written so that he can be taught. They were written so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. All right? That is why these things are written here. So that we might have hope as we read these things. So how do we get hope? You know, as we go back to those children in the wilderness, as we look at those Israelites, right? And they were journeying through just like us. They were in a literal wilderness, moving from, you know, Egypt into Canaan. We are in the wilderness of this earth, moving from earth to heaven, so to speak, right now. So we're journeying. But as they were journeying to Canaan, they become tired and they got grumpy, and you know all the things that they did, like what we read there, you know, how they provoked God and all the rest of it. And so at one point, they were complaining, Paul, against God, and they were complaining against his servant Moses. And God sent some fiery serpents among them. And these serpents began to bite them, and, you know, they were dying. in the wilderness. And when they realized that they were dying, they decided to turn to Moses and to repent, right? And ask Moses to pray for them. Moses turned to God, of course, and God told him to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And that is why also today you see you have that serpent on the pole on those ambulances or, you know, some obstacles, they have them there. So Moses made this bronze serpent, he put it on the pole, and they had to look at that serpent. And when they were bitten by these snakes that were in the wilderness there, all they had to do was look to that bronze serpent that Moses made. And they were
healed.
Amen? They just looked, that's why they just looked to that serpent, looked to that pole, and they lived, so to speak, instead of dying. Now, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he said, that if I be lifted up from the earth, he said,
yeah,
I will draw all men unto me. Amen?
Amen.
He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said,
Son
of Man be lifted up. Right?
Yes.
Right. And he says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. What I'm saying here is that right now we have a big old serpent whose name is Lucifer. And he's running around biting God's people, right? And not only infecting them with poison that can kill, but he is really infecting us with the poison of sin that would separate us from God forever. And that would help us not to enter into that rift. Because if we are full of sin, we can't enter into the true rest. But Jesus is saying today that if you look to me, right, you will live. It doesn't matter how much the serpent may have, you know, had his way with you in the past. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and he says, I will give you rest. Amen. So the truth is found only in Jesus Christ. And that is what I want us to leave here today. That if we want that rest, if we want to enter into that true rest, we must come to Jesus Christ. We must give our life and we must make that full and complete surrender to him. Because apart from him, we can have no rest. Just like Moses
was
the serpent, and he said, hey, look and live. There's a whole hymn. In the hymnal, it says, look upon Jesus.
Sinless is he.
Yeah, Father, infuse his life unto me. Isn't that something? Isn't it good to have Jesus' life in the place of my whole sinful life, my life of scarlet, my worn sin, covered with his life? And with that, we are out of time, and I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And we're going to continue next week again. So I thank those who have invited their friends today. I thank you, Jackie, for telling Sister Francis about this. And I thank you, Sister Francis, for being with us. I thank you for Melanie for being with us. And everyone that came on, excuse me if I didn't get. I'm so thankful for you being here with us. And as we close, I just want us to keep our faith in God. Be a good part. And he will indeed strengthen our heart. Thank you so
Amen.
Much. Amen. For it's been a pleasure.
Amen. Amen. It was a blessing.
Have a word of prayer as we close. Father, indeed, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you that we can still look to you, just like the children of Israel looked at that bronze serpent and lived in the wilderness. There we have weakness, and we say that if we look to you, we can have life and have it more abundantly. And indeed,
yes,
we can enjoy the true rest that is found only in having or living in peace with you. So, for this end, we surrender our lives, and we thank you so much again for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends.
Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Praise the Lord, yes, and a happy Sabbath, and look forward to seeing you all next week, next Friday, same place, same time, and yes, keep inviting your friends by the grace of God, we all will be blessed. Amen. When Jesus.
Hey, Elder Maya, I appreciate your ministry, and I've been blessed both this week and last week. I'm sorry I missed the first couple of minutes. Obviously, I missed a lot.
No problem.
Yes.
No problem, my brother. God bless everyone. See you all next time. Amen.
God bless.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He had me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realize this grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy sent no.
Nice. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Take off your...